your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and unfortunately, I think collectively, we are, at this moment, attending a wake for my computer because I, you know, listen, y'all know me pretty well at this point. You know I'm not, like, keeping a lot of spare room on my hard drive. You know that we are down to the wire and this thing be crashing all the time because it ran out of space, ran out of RAM, whatever it's called. I had to restart my computer before I recorded this. I can't even get Google Drive to load. I can't get things to load. I think this is it. I think this is it for my computer. I mean, I'm gonna have to clear off files, which is a whole thing. There's like, listen, like cleaning out like the closet in your house you don't wanna clean out is one thing. Cleaning out a computer is so tricky because you can't actually see the stuff and then you're like, what if I delete something? And like, where is this backed up? I don't know. I'm scared for what's about to happen next. I'm scared. It's still just spinning wheel. Spinning wheel. You know what? We had a good run, my laptop and I, and I have to, you know, annex my entire vacation to cleaning it off. I think that's probably how it's going to go. By the time you're listening to this, I will be in New York. I'm recording this before I leave, obviously. I usually, like, huddle up in a little room whenever we go back to visit Ben's family. And I just, like, sit in this room without air conditioning and record. And it's very, very hot. And I was like, this time I'm going to be on top of it. I'm going to get stuff done in advance. And that's exactly what we did. Can you believe it? I got things done, and now I freed myself up to explore New York City while I'm there. I mean, I used to live there, so it never really feels like a vacation destination, but there's a bunch of new stuff I want to check out. There's some stores I really want to check out. I'm attempting to do, like, real summer shopping. I have a lot of t-shirts, but I don't really have, like, tops. Like, as an adult, I feel like I need some tops. You know, like, not like a blouse, because it's summer, but, like, an easy breezy top. If I can get, like, two more of those, packing for trips to Florida and trips for cruises will be so easy. I also don't really have any summer skirts. So we have some tasks to do, some actually things I need. I do need new sneakers. I need sandals. I don't have a heeled sandal. I don't have a flat sandal that isn't really a Birkenstock. So we have some chores. We have some fun chores, though. So I'm excited to do that in New York. I'm excited to have some good coffee. I'm excited to eat at Jack's Wifredo, which is the real only thing I have to do in New York. Like, if I don't get my fill of green sauce, I will be deeply upset. But yeah, I can't wait to go. I'll be there. I already will have hopefully bought all the things I needed by the time I see you next. But this week, we're not talking about my imminent... there's like a bit of a family reunion situation happening. It's for someone in Ben's family. It's his birthday. I don't know why I said someone in his family. It's his dad. I can admit that publicly that his dad has a birthday. It's like a big birthday. Everyone's coming together. Should be a blast. But we are talking about something theme park centric this week. We are talking about all of the hotels at Disney World ranked. And this is chaotic. This is a wild episode, but you know what? My motto these days is, if it's not fun, why do it? And this one, real fun, so we had to do it. Stick around. We will be back with some words on every hotel that you will probably hold against me. Either you will cheer along in your car, in your home, or you'll be screaming at me. Either way, we're gonna have a good time. Stick around. We will be right back with more. And now a quick chat about current Disney discounts and promotions with our travel agent partner, Becky Menken of Mouse Fan Travel. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Carly. It's so good to hear from you again.
I know. I feel like we're pen pals. We're like business pen pals. It's so good to see you, though.
It's good to see you, too. It's been a whirlwind for me, though, as you probably know. I just did an Adventures by Disney to Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. And it's my second time on that itinerary. It was so great. And then I hopped over to Europe, believe it or not, and I escorted a group cruise with Royal Caribbean, which included like Copenhagen and Rotterdam. It was just amazing. And I'm not sure what time zone I'm in or exactly what day it is right now, but I do know in a few days I leave for another Adventures by Disney to Southern California. I'm going to go and do one that hits Disney Studios and Imagineering and, of course, Disneyland. So I'm so excited about that.
I've done that one and it's awesome.
It's amazing. And going to Imagineering, are you kidding? Going shopping in Imagineering at Mickey's of Glendale? That's totally on it. But speaking of Adventures by Disney, did you know that right now they do have a really cool offer for select 2026 and 2027 land adventures? If you book by July 31st, they're doing two promos. You can save up to $500 per person on international land adventures like Italy or Japan. Ooh. Or Ireland, Iceland, London, all of the international destinations, or save up to $400 per person on select North and Central America land like Costa Rica and Wyoming. So a lot of opportunity. If you've done the theme parks a lot, there's another place where you can enjoy the Disney flair that we love and the service and the adventure. So Adventures by Disney's got a great opportunity for you. But if you are really wanting like one of those tropical beverages with an umbrella in it, Alani's got you. They
Ooh, okay,
got
tell me
your
what's going
back.
on in Alani, because I've had the Alani itch lately and I kind of want to know what the deal is.
All I think about with Alani is that lazy river, a drink in the lazy river. But right now, if you travel from October 20th to December 23rd, you can save up to 30% on stays of 5 or more consecutive nights, or 25% on stays of 4 consecutive nights.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money if you're, especially at that saving 30% off. So there's a lot of deals to be had there if you can go from that October to December timeframe.
And a ton of holiday breaks in there. Like you got Thanksgiving, you got some schools have fall break. Even if you do what I do,
Exactly.
which is that you travel on the like a little before the holidays, because what else is going on? No one's
I
doing
know.
anything at work the week before.
You're
You
just
go
like
early.
staring at me. All you're doing is you're shopping online to make sure you get all of those extra gifts, right?
Yeah,
That's
and you
what
can
we
do that
do.
while looking at the lazy river.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Peggy. I can't wait to hear the rest.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Welcome back. Now this week, we are ranking all of the Walt Disney World Resort hotels. And I'm going to tell you straight from the jump, someone's going to be mad at me. Someone is going to be very upset with me. The Truist Hotline is going to get an irate call at some point after this podcast drops. And it's kind of the way it goes, okay? It's just kind of the way it is. We're going to get chaotic on this episode because, frankly, we were supposed to have a different episode this week. There was a different one that I completely worked on, spent 2 days on it, outlined it, planned it, was ready to go. And then the night before I was recording it, I was like, this idea randomly popped in my head. And I was like, you know what? That's fun and I want to do it. I want to have fun. We've been doing a lot of guide episodes, a lot of knowledge-based episodes, a lot of like, not educational, but explaining a lot about Disney Cruise Line, explaining a lot about Epic Universe. We haven't really just had fun with a concept. And this one popped in the old brain and I just couldn't get it out of there. And it just came out of me, like truly just impromptu. This episode came together quickly because I was very passionate about it, and it was the main thing in my brain. It was the main thing I wanted to do. Now, before we get into the ranking and some of you being upset with me and some of you hopefully agreeing, I just want to let you know, we're dealing with main hotels. We're not really factoring in a lot of DVC stuff. So, for example, if we're talking about Disney's Contemporary Resort, we're not really going to talk about Bay Lake Tower. We're kind of focusing on the core hotel identities. That's just how it's going to go. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And a lot of times, I do believe that every hotel is right for a certain kind of trip. So even if a hotel you like is ranked towards the bottom, just keep in mind, it's just, this is generalizations. This is generalizations. So for you, like if you have a very something-centric trip, I don't want to spoil what list lies ahead, something might be a better fit for you than others. But just to be frank with you, I just want to be real honest about a bunch of hotels. This episode is brought to you by me buying a cappuccino and as I paid going, you know what? I'm actually going to finish this in 2 seconds and I want a coffee with my breakfast. I will also get a coffee. I walked to a table at breakfast this morning with my friend Julie holding a cappuccino and a coffee. So we're just going to take that energy and put it right into this ranking, starting with number 21, Saratoga Springs. Oh yeah, I'm shoving Saratoga Springs to the bottom. And yes, the tree houses are chill. Yeah, that is where I spent my very first Disney World trip. If I did not experience the Saratoga Springs tree houses, we would not be here doing this podcast. You would not be listening to me speak. I would be off doing, honestly, Lord knows what. I have absolutely no idea. But at the end of the day, I hate the theme. I hate it. I think that check-in lobby just gives me a bad vibe. I feel like the hair stands up on the back of my neck whenever I walk in there. And you're close to Disney Springs, which is like cool, but like That's it. Like, if the main appeal is that you're close to Disney Springs, there's about 7 to 9 hotels down the block that'll do the same thing at a much lower price. And while I feel like there are a couple cool things here, they're not cool enough to make this resort be boosted anywhere beyond the bottom of the list. Because think about it. There's no restaurant that's specifically bringing in people here. Like, no one's writing home about the food. The theming isn't even really carried through all the way. It's supposed to be themed to, like, horse riding in Saratoga Springs and, like, you can't even ride a horse here. If it's themed to horse riding, shouldn't we have horses? It's not like they can't do it. There's horses at other hotels. I just feel like it's light on theming. It's light on excitement. And it doesn't do it for me. Bringing us to number 20, Port Orleans Riverside. And while this hotel is quite charming, I will give it that. In 2025, essentially staying in a hotel that looks like a plantation house gives me pause. They call them mansions. Again, I don't want to get a call about this. They call them mansions on the website. But I gotta be real with you. A New Orleans themed hotel, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, its architecture might be loosely inspired by the slave owner homes in that region. And I just think it just gives me a little pause about staying here. And given I have my issues with an internal bus system, if I did this list a year ago, I probably would have put every internal bus system all the way at the bottom. Because I once came here, I once stayed here, and I could not find my room to the point where I was walking in circles. A cast member who I saw a cast member, I saw like a living soul and was like, please help me. And they had to walk me to my room because it was so confusing. They were even giggling about how confusing it was. But that's not why it's in spot 20. It's in spot 20 because the buildings are designed after gigantic mansions and are huge. The waterfront is lovely. There are carriage rides. There's plenty to love about this resort. Even those royal guest rooms are a very cool offering, the themed ones. But I feel weird booking here because of it. And you know what? Someone's got to be ranked towards the bottom. And the hotel that questionably might have wink, wink, plantation-esque theming is gonna go straight to the bottom. Well, I guess one above Saratoga Springs, but it's joining it down there. Number 19 goes to All-Star Sports. Straight up, there are 3 of these. It's a little hard to rank them individually, but the other 2 arguably have way better themes. When it comes down to it, if I'm staying All-Stars at a value resort at Disney World, I would rather look at a big jukebox than a big baseball. Is it first on the bus route? Yeah, but the theming is not for me. It is not my favorite. Like, IP-less sports with like no real Disney tie to it, just isn't cutting it for me in this modern age. Bringing us to number 18, Disney's Boardwalk Inn. Surprise! I told you we were gonna be chaotic and I am following through on that vision. Now, this has always been a resort that I loved, that I love spending time at, that I'm kind of like cosmically drawn to. But honestly, they have peeled back so much of the retro charm that made this place special, that really fed its identity, that it is a shell of its former self. When they removed that creepy clown slide and we had to watch that thing be dismantled and put in a truck on social media, this thing slipped all the way down for me. I mean, they updated the pool to be like, oh, it's like a Mickey Mouse-esque facade. They removed all the charm from Bellevue Lounge. It used to have the coolest furniture. It was a wicker couch that had cup holders in it. I've had some of the best nights of my life at Disney World at that bar in this hotel. And that is gone. It now just looks like, it looks a little Wayfair. I'm sorry, the furniture looks a little Wayfair. It just doesn't really fit the vibe. The nanny chairs are truly their saving grace. And if those ever go, it's game over. But they have this great theme and this great attached area. The boardwalk is a fantastic place to visit. But there is something happening here where the new iteration of this boardwalk theme is battling the old one. And I think it's causing a lot of experiential tension. Now, they did redesign the rooms recently, which I will not ding them on. I get that. And I think the upgrades are great. I think they needed it. I once stayed in a room and was like, I feel like I'm in someone's grandma's house. And you don't want that for a deluxe resort. So I am in support of that. And I do think they have improved the rooms. But what are we doing here, really? Like, the hotel just seems like it's kind of stuck in this weird in-between where they want to modernize and they want to make it a little fancy, a little glitzier, but it's really not jiving with the theme. I mean, take Carousel Coffee, for example, that new coffee shop that they added into the side of the lobby at the boardwalk. It should be camp. It should be like souvenirs everywhere. There's even an elegant way to make it feel upscale while also having maybe a bunch of antique beach souvenirs. Just having a lot of stuff. They could have really propped it out. They could have made it fun. But instead, it's just giving Marriott Coffee Shop. I'm sorry, it is. And if anybody gets mad at me for that, You don't want to see the stuff they said online when this place debuted, because calling it a Marriott is a much kinder version of what I saw on Twitter that day. Let's just say that a lot of people were comparing this coffee shop to a medical center. That's all I'm going to say. And while there are fantastic things at Disney's Boardwalk, I mean, Cake Bake Shop, which will soon be a favorite when I revisit it after speaking with Ashley from our Ashley Eckstein episode, if you haven't listened. Abracadabra is cool. The deli low-key has really good food options. It just feels kind of topsy-turvy. Like, this hotel is supposed to be evoking the charm and whimsy of turn-of-the-century Atlantic City. That's literally what the description says on the website. And that's not what you're getting when you visit here right now. The identity, I believe, is in crisis. It really doesn't hit the same way it used to. And I think that you can feel that when you're there. And on top of that, I think its neighboring hotels reign supreme, and that is why they will be ranked higher than this one. So at number 18, Boardwalk Inn. I wish they would really take that theming and that charm and just blow it up. Like, can you imagine if they had like a taffy pole that they introduced to one of the dining areas that like you get fresh taffy? Like, if they just doubled down in a classy, elegant way, it is doable. And yet, I just think the way the theme is being executed is not my favorite at the moment. Sitting in spot 17 is All Star Movies. The theming here is quite terrifying at night, and we gotta respect them for that. Those Fantasia brooms, they're too big. I'm gonna say it, they're too big. They scared me. I looked up a photo of them before I did this episode to be like, they're that big, right? Like, I'm not exaggerating. The way they loom in the back of my brain like a nightmare, that's accurate. Oh, they sure are. They're real big. And while I don't often stay at All Stars, I will admit I need to start staying there again. I need to check back in. I need to experience it once again. And I need to stay at All Stars more because the value there is just so huge compared to other Disney hotels. And if you're going to take a bus to a theme park anyway, kind of what's the difference? A friend of mine recently opened my eyes by saying, you know, Disney's redesigned basically all the rooms anyway. There's not much difference between them. It's just what's outside the room. And he was right. Like, he fully changed my perspective on Disney hotels outside of this, like, three strata of moderate, deluxe, and value. But the reason I rank All Stars this low is because, honestly, I don't want to be where the sports teams are. I don't want to be where a group of young people is. That's it. I'm an adult woman and I'm scared of teens. I'm scared of youths. I'm scared of people practicing outside the hotel all night because I am old and I need my sleep and it's just not for me any longer. And because they tend to migrate there, it's gonna be lower on the list. So number 17 is All Star Movies and number 16, All Star Music. And they're staying here for now, but could they move higher after I stay there again and revisit it? They sure could, because again, I'm kind of being catty here. Like, frankly, again, the rooms are all kind of the same design. What's the difference? As for music being higher than All Star Movies, you know, if you're gonna stay at one of the three, you may as well do the one that feels like the interior design vibe of riding Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, and getting Conga, because that's what this is. If you don't walk in this hotel and immediately, if you don't hear that immediately in your head when you walk in, you're not doing it right. On top of that, they've got a pool with three caballeros spritzing water. Like, they just have a little more whimsy here. Again, big old jukebox. I love that. And while I keep saying I will stay here, I'm going to vow that in 2026, I'm locking it in. I am going to stay at an All-Star so I can reevaluate and re-rank to really see what it's like. Because it's been a minute since I've stayed there. It's been a few years. And if you think about it, like, budget-wise, hotel-wise, you can stay here, have like a true Disney vacation, a great experience, but also the amount of money you'd save between staying here and staying at a moderate could be the difference between staying here and bawling out with Lightning Lanes and maybe doing a dining reservation you wanted to do. And when you put those side by side, especially with the room redesigns, it makes sense to stay here. I may re-rank these in real time in like 6 months, but keep in mind, for now they stay down here. It could change in the future. For now they stay down here. Again, I'm scared of youths. That's it. I'm scared of like walking out of my room and it's just a bunch of people going to a competition. That terrifies me. And I just, that's where it is. That's where I land. And also, like, okay, if we're getting real with it, later on, we're going to talk about some hotels that are have big decor, because these ones have big old decor, but their big decor is IP based. And here it's not, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. But if there's big decor and I'm at Disney and I'm paying to be on property, I want Disney. And the size is Disney, and like the theming is a little like slightly retro Disney World, but it doesn't give me Disney. It just gives me big. And I think I need a little more Disney for these to rank higher. Number 15, Port Orleans French Quarter, where I'm about to undo everything I just said. This originally was below All Stars because I didn't want this to be like, I didn't want it to be like value and moderate to the back, deluxe up front. And this is a moderate, but I really think I would rather stay here than those. Port Orleans French Quarter pulls through above because the theming is tied to a real world destination, but they pull it off in a very fantastic Disney way. It like evokes the charm of New Orleans without being debatably problematic, like aforementioned hotels. But I also feel like it's the only moderate, whose widespread building layout, you know, the traditional layout of a moderate hotel at Disney World, it really lends itself to the theme. Like what they did to the exteriors of these buildings with the colors, like the wrought iron gates on the outside, they made it look like you're in New Orleans by not doing that much to change the exterior. And I think that as like theme park design at its best. And it really, really resonates with me. It is, you know, pricier than an All-Star. It's pricier than a value. But the quick service dining room is pretty cool. The pool is the slide in the pool is a serpent. That's pretty sick. I just think this hotel is rare and wouldn't happen again like this. And for that, it just kind of gets an edge. It just kind of gets a little bit of an edge above the rest. Number 14, the cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness. We're not even gonna include tents because listen, if you're going to Disney World and you're staying in a tent, I don't know what to say to you. Like, I can't even fathom. Like, you sleep like in a tent and then you go to the park and you come back and sleep in a tent. It's not for me. It's not the lifestyle for me. If you do that, I am impressed. You are brave, but it's simply not an option. I mean, RV, I'll mess around with an RV, but a tent, mm-mm. We're focusing on the cabins. Again, this is one of the rare hotels I have not stayed at. I have not stayed at Disney's Fort Wilderness. I've spent plenty of time at this resort, but I have not slept here. And the reason it's not like straight up to the top five for me, because it is home to Hoop Dee Doo Musical Review, the greatest dinner theater show in the entire world. But the reason it's kind of lower isn't because I haven't stayed here. It's just because Disney's Fort Wilderness really lends itself to a non-standard Disney trip. It's sick. Like, this is an awesome hotel, but it's not exactly the Disney World vacation that we are used to at the moment. The dream of Disney World being a vacation kingdom is alive here. It is alive and well. But if you're going to Disney World, you're probably defaulting to being a little stressed about the parks like I am. You're like, we got to do this. We got to fit this in. We got to go on this ride. I want to do this. There's so many things I want to do in the parks. And to be that far away and removed, even just like design-wise, the fact that you feel removed amplifies the park stress for me. Again, I am desperate to stay here. I cannot wait to be in these cabins. What an incredible getaway. But the reason I kind of never end up booking here is because I want to save this for a chill vacation, and that just kind of hasn't happened. I did rank it this high at 14 because, again, the vibe is immaculate. There's a community feel with the golf carts, the fact that they celebrate holidays, there's parades, like there is a built-in community here, and I love that. The fact that there's a tradition among among people who stay here, who like that you can't really get, like there's no tradition at most of these other hotels, but here there is. And I think that's so special. And I want to stay here and I want to enjoy it. But I think the fact that I'm waiting for a trip where I'm not prioritizing the Disney World of it all does kind of ding it because it makes it other. It makes it a little separate from the rest of the hotels. Now we have 13 hotels left to rank, and there are some surprises in here that might blow your socks off. So stick around. We have a few words from our sponsors. And we'll be back with our ranking of Walt Disney World hotels. I think it's really important in adulthood to know what you are good at and what you're a real, real bad at. I am real, real bad at all things cooking. I cannot handle a grocery list. I send texts to myself and I'm like, oh, don't forget ginger. It's been weeks since I've gotten ginger. There's no ginger in my house. I send my husband to do that. I do some of the cooking, and let me tell you, it's not cute. It's just a bunch of rice and then whatever I put together. But every time I have an every plate shipment, every single time, I'm cooking out real meals. I made the most beautiful quesadilla the other week. It was phenomenal. I was like walking around the house proud of myself, like, look what I did with the every plate. And it's just because with every plate, you get restaurant level deliciousness week after week with unbelievable recipes. They got stuff like crispy buffalo ranch chicken, cheesy Mexican street corn hash, not the stuff you'd expect to make. Like, I would expect chicken and vegetables, but no, they have restaurant quality recipes that, and they break it down and make it easy for you. Because when you order every plate, the world is truly your oyster. You will spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on normal groceries or a restaurant because they send pre-portioned ingredients. It's amazing. If you're tired of cooking the same things over and over, they'll up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with easy to follow recipes. I can't do math. I'm no good at science. I can barely cook. I know how, like even turning on the stove, we have an old stove. It's kind of a situation. With every plate, it's no problem. I have enjoyed my every plate delivery so much because when they arrive, I know I have one less thing to worry about. Actually, like seven less things to worry about because then I can cook for myself, my husband, my kid. I don't have to get groceries. I know I have food in the fridge and I'm not just eating like the dust in the bottom of a granola bag for dinner. Like truly every plate will change your life as much as it has mine. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy a special offer of only $1.99 a meal. Oh my God, that's really good. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as a discount on the first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199. I have a child now, which means one thing for my everyday life. I cannot get my hands on enough berries. But thank goodness there's a solution, because the best red raspberries they sell in this country, plump, sweet, naturally delicious, are available in the freezer aisle, thanks to the glory of Washington Red Raspberries. Oh yeah, we got the Big Berry account, y'all, so listen up, because I have some very important things to say about this. I'm actually very passionate about frozen fruit, because when you freeze fruit, it retains all of its nutrients and they're picked at peak ripeness and frozen hours later. So it's actually like a genius way and it's more economical and it's easier to have access to berries in your home. Like, this is not a joke. I was born to talk about raspberries and that's exactly what we're gonna do. But anyway, I have a child. So I'm constantly having this berry-based power struggle in my house. But with frozen Washington red raspberries, we all win. I'm out here housing nutrients like vitamin C and fiber by plopping them in my overnight oats, baking little muffins for the house with them. My daughter's getting American-grown frozen raspberries in her daily smoothie because she has the diet of a Gen Z Erewhoner, but we're only doing that inside our house. We have a healthy addition to all of our meals, and I don't have to run out or go to the market because I have them in my house, in my freezer, ready to go whenever I need fresh fruit. American-grown frozen raspberries are fresh, juicy, and full of flavor. They're good for gut health. They're good for blood sugar. I mean, they're friggin' raspberries. How can you not love a ripe raspberry? And when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, look for product of US on the bag. That's how you know you got the right one. You're getting fresh flavor all year long. Without that sadness of taking a carton out of the fridge and realizing they've gone all mushy. No mush here! So if you want to join in and find these delicious little berries, head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. There you'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations like Kroger and Costco. Fun fact, you can find these in Costco, but you can also find them in the Kirkland Signature 3-Berry Blend. They got the good raspberries! And on that website, you'll find everything you need to make naturally delicious frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org. Happy berry eating!
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Welcome back. And with 13 hotels left on the list, I feel like now is a really good time to mention that years ago, when I was a contributing writer at Travel and Leisure, I wrote a story ranking all of the rides at, I believe it was Disneyland or Magic Kingdom or Disney World. It was somewhere. Somewhere I ranked all of the rides for one of the theme park resorts. And I got dragged to the moon and back on the internet. And there is a little PTSD where I'm very worried about how some of y'all are going to react to some of these. And if you're upset, it's okay. It's okay. This is just one woman's ranking. But I just want to emphasize going into the next few that, again, this is just an arbitrary ranking. Please don't dislike me. There's one that I'm very, very scared that people are going to come for me for. At number 13, which I don't think anyone's going to be upset about, is Art of Animation. Here's the deal. Cool rooms. Cool pool. But straight up, these rooms could be themed more. They could be themed more. The theming is very vinyl. You know what I mean? The theming is very surface. I want props. I want objects. I want to feel like I'm in a 3D version of this environment, not one that's kind of flat and on the wall and on the tables. It's why I'm not desperate to bring my Cars-loving kid here, because the rooms aren't really what I want them to be. The room decor feels a little like it's kind of giving themed daycare. You know what I mean? But they do have the largest pool on property. It's basically Disney's Evermore. Also, if you are not being targeted by Evermore all over social media, we have a very different feed, because people in LA, many people I know in LA, have sought me out to be like, what's the deal with that hotel with the big old pool? And something about Evermore is like seeping into non-Disney internet. It's wild. Anyway, that is separate from Art of Animation. Art of Animation has that big pool. They have Landscape of Flavors. They have a tiny version of Cars Land, which is so cool. But really, they have the Skyliner. So the fact that you can actually live among the characters and theming in a way bigger than the All-Stars, bigger than similar themed resorts, while also conveniently accessing Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios, is not lost on me and really gives Art of Animation the boost it wouldn't have without. Because I feel like so many hotels have leaned away from theme. They've leaned away from theme in a big way. And here it's like, honey, you want Disney characters? You're gonna get Disney characters. And I love that there's one hotel where all of that is happening, even if the price is admittedly higher than it should be. Yeah, this is kind of like a bus-biased ranking, but I'm wooed by a Skyliner. I'm wooed by a character. If we're at Disney, we're doing Disney. And I just think that this should sit in this position. Number 12, Wilderness Lodge. You ever want to feel like you're on an outdoorsy trip without going anywhere or doing anything? Welcome to Wilderness Lodge. I'm placing it a little lower than I originally thought I would, at 12, because I think Wilderness Lodge lives in this liminal space where, as a deluxe, it has a lot of what you're looking for, but locationally, you're like, you're so close to the Magic Kingdom, but you can't access the monorail. You're so close! And paying deluxe prices while knowing there's three hotels that are closer than you, it does kind of ding it. I love taking a boat to Magic Kingdom. I think it's wonderful. But if you're like me and you go to Epcot on every trip, staying here does make you feel a little removed from the Epcot of it all. But that aside, what a vibe. What a vibe. This is a perfect holiday hotel, a perfect wintertime hotel. They have fantastic themed spaces and rooms. And I know a lot of these rankings are kind of transportationally biased, but that's how I feel. And if you hate the ranking, if you're mad that Wilderness Lodge is at 12, just know this. I booked a room here with my travel agent recently for one night because I'm like, if I'm there for one night, this is the vibe I want. The plan is that I'm going to stay at Wilderness all day. And then when the sun sets, I'm going to take a boat to Magic Kingdom and see the new nighttime parade. And this was the best hotel to do that at. Like, this was the perfect hotel for that trip. Also, my room was $340 on a Saturday night. $340 at Wilderness Lodge on a Saturday night. All I'm saying, novicemantravel.com/amusing. If you want to find some prices, I'm not saying it's like overhype and to sell you. I'm saying that because I've never seen a room here that cheap on a Saturday night. And we got to be snatching up the deals when we see them. There is a reason Wilderness Lodge is at 12 and not higher. I mean, not closer to the top. And you will see why in a couple of moments. At number 11, I'm giving it to Pop Century. And the reason Pop Century is at 11 is because my friend Brandon loves it here. Now, let me explain. My friend Brandon, you might know him as Nene or with Nene on social media. Brandon co-hosts some episodes of Alicia Stella's podcast. But straight up, Brandon has impeccable taste. I would follow Brandon to the end of the earth. And Brandon only stays at Pop Century. Brandon and I went to Muppet Prom together. And we stayed at different hotels because, once again, Brandon only stays at Pop Century. And this is someone who loves the Disney brand, reveres it, stays here all the time, travels constantly, is always at the parks. I'm recording this the day before I go to Disneyland with Brandon. And if Brandon thinks Pop Century is the best hotel at Disney World, that is all I need to hear. This place would probably be at the bottom of the list if it wasn't for him. Something about, like, I don't know, like, I was on the website because I was like, okay, maybe just refresh my memory. Maybe Brandon knows something I don't. Maybe I can see it on the website. And they literally say, like, oh, there's a playground. Children can climb, slide, and play at the fun play area located in the 70s section. Like, the theme here is time? Is this a museum? Like, it's just very strange to me. But something about the Everything Pop branding really does do it for me. Like, the icon, when you think of the hotel, you think of that icon, and it really does it for me. Also, Brandon has impeccable taste. If he likes it, he's on to something. And he has emphasized to me that, like, Pop Century has a feel, has a vibe, and you can take the Skyliner to two of the parks. Like, the theming extends to the food. I get it. I need to stay again. It's been a hot minute, but Pop Century, honestly, I think Brandon's onto something. And if you're looking for something that isn't like a higher end moderate or a deluxe, consider Pop Century and tell them Brandon sent you. Number 10, Old Key West. There is something in the air here. There's something in the air because Old Key West is different from any other hotel. And if I had to boil it down, I would say it's the calm of Fort Wilderness while still feeling like you are a part of Walt Disney World and not off in the woods. And the reason this ranks higher than some other ones, because this is an entirely DVC hotel. This is one that if you're coming on a casual trip, your first trip, you're probably not gonna end up here. But everyone here is calm because everyone, for the most part, is a DVC person. They've been to Disney World before. They're going to come here again. And it opened my eyes when I stayed there for the first time, like a year and a half ago, I think it was at this point. I was like, oh, a breath of fresh air while still being in the magic. And I rank this so high at number 10 because it also has iconic food you can't find anywhere else. Food worth seeking out, like conch fritters and key lime Dole Whip. There's just really cool stuff here and a really cool vacation feel while also being so Disney. If you stay here, I recommend renting a car, chilling out, enjoying the vacation, taking the boat to Disney Springs, but also really getting into it at the parks. The rooms are, I think, the biggest ones you'll find. I'm pretty sure that's official, but the rooms are huge. It feels like you're at a rental property, but you're still at Disney World. And I just gotta rank it at 10 for that. I think it's a really, really great option. And often the pricing, if you need a bigger room, if you need like a villa style room, and I know I said I wouldn't do like DVC Towers, Old Key West is different. I think if you need more space, this is one of your go-to options. Number 9, Disney's Riviera Resort. And while I loved my stay here, I know 9 might surprise you. We did an episode back in February when I went. I had lovely things to say about it. It's great. I encountered some of the best cast members I've ever seen. It's got undeniable curb appeal with that entrance fountain. The quick service dining is adorable. They got the little coffee shop. They got those special little chicken tendies by the pool. They also have the best kids water play area I've seen in a while. But even with that and that and that and that and that, even with the Skyliner, even with the elegance of staying there, something is holding me back from loving it here. And I had a wonderful trip when I was there, but I still think the layout of this hotel is kookaloony, and it unsettles me a bit. The fact that you walk in and I've talked about this lobby so many times on Very Amusing, but you walk in the lobby and then it's like, oh, you got to go down. And then there's that big lawn and then there's a pool to the side. And it's just, there's no wayfinding happening here. I find it very confusing. And something about that just doesn't, when I walk into a Disney hotel, especially for ranking them okay, against each other, I want to feel like, oh, I'm at Disney. And I walk in and I'm like, oh, I'm confused. And I do think that resonates. It's a wonderful hotel, but when you compare all of them across the board, the pricing is really high. And it is a tower, which I usually love, but here the rooms are small. They're quite small. And I think there's just a lot of things that make me want to rank other places higher. Number 8. Ugh, I'm scared for this one. Just hear me out before you cancel me, okay? Like, just give me a second. When I was outlining this, I was like, this is not going to be good, and I'm not going to want to say this, and I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. But number 8 is Polynesian Village Resort. I know it's a hot take. Please do not come for me until you hear my perspective. Now, we are not including the new tower. I haven't stayed there yet. A lot of people have never seen it. It's quite new. We're focusing on the core Polynesian Village Resort Hotel. And yeah, This is a great themed hotel. There is a lot to love here. But the truth is, at the end of the day, Disney's Polynesian Village Resort is like New York City. It's an incredible place to visit, but not a good place to stay long term. They've got a chaotic monorail situation, like truly chaotic. You are just to the right of the transportation ticket center. So if you want to go to Epcot, if you don't want to walk over there, you got to do the whole loop, which is honestly not convenient because you have to change monorails to go to Epcot. So you're on the monorail, but it doesn't offer the same type of monorail benefits, in my opinion. And also, Polynesian Village Resort, incredible place to dine, to walk around, to spend time in. You can sit on the beach and watch fireworks. They don't stop you from doing that. Even the DVC Tower, they're letting people just park and visit now later in the day. Like, they have opened it up and they're encouraging you to visit. And I feel like you can squeeze a lot of juice out of the Polynesian Village experience. Like, squeeze a lot of the pineapple out of the Dole Whip juice, the Dole Whip float. I feel like you can squeeze a lot of the juice out just by coming here for a few hours, just by spending the day. And I think because it is a pricier hotel, it is one of the top priced deluxe hotels, I do think that you can have a lot of fun here without having to stay. And a lot of times, like, a lot of people there aren't staying at the hotel. And if I'm at a hotel, I do want a little feel like, ooh, like I'm away. And here, this is really even more than like Grand Floridian, even more than Contemporary. I feel like a lot of people are just here to visit the hotel. It is a chaotic lobby. There is a lot going on. And for me, I'm taking points away because of it. Again, a great place to visit, but I prefer visiting here versus staying here. I have not stayed here yet, and there's a reason. It's that I'm always like, well, I'm kind of getting a lot out of just visiting. What's the point? Because if you stay here, you don't have extra access into Trader Sam's. You don't have any like additional benefit to stay here to enjoy the things on property. You can sit on the beach and watch the fireworks with anybody else who shows up and sits on the beach and watches the fireworks. And I think that there's something there. There needs to be, you do get the access to the pool. The pool is great. But I do think you should have a little more exclusivity if you stay there. You should have a little bit of a bump to get into Trader Sam's. And because none of that exists, kind of what's the point? What's the point of staying here instead of just coming here after Magic Kingdom or walking over from another hotel and enjoying yourself and then moving on with your day? I mean, again, hot take, but you see what I'm saying, right? You see the picture I'm painting. Number 7, Caribbean Beach. I never thought I would rank this hotel this high, but Caribbean Beach being a moderate hotel with so many rooms, so much inventory, and being at the Skyliner Hub is huge. It is huge. Because even if you stay somewhere like Riviera, which is quite pricey, you have to transfer to go to Hollywood Studios. You have to get on the Skyliner and then immediately get off and board another Skyliner. Here, you can head straight to Epcot, you can head straight to Hollywood Studios without having to switch tracks. And it's the only hotel that offers that directly. They used to be a non-negotiable for me because of their internal bus system. It's a gigantic resort. I found the buses to be very upsetting because you're on the bus for a long time to travel around this big hotel. But the fact that you can get to two parks so quickly, more than at other hotels, they're getting the number 7 ranking. And I usually wouldn't do that. Again, transportation is playing in here huge. But I think if you are looking for something that is not a deluxe hotel, you are looking for a moderate, you are looking for something at like a more medium to lower price point, Caribbean Beach offers so much for being that. Also, the theming is vacation. The theming is very relaxing. I was walking through back from there to Riviera on my last trip there. And I was like, wait, like for someone who craves relaxation, because I never get it now that I have a child, it's beach themed. Like, it's basically vacation themed vacation. And I don't think I give that enough credit. I have been sleeping on Caribbean Beach for so long and I need to not. And I want to boost it up because of that. In spots 6 and 5, hand in hand, tandem, are Disney's Beach and Yacht Club. Don't make me break them apart. They are basically like twins that reside in homes next door to each other. They are sisters. They are brethren. And I do not want to split them up. I love and do not like the fact that they have such a small footprint. I think it's fantastic that you feel like you're in this kind of like, I don't know, like a very local, small hotel when you're there. But then also when I'm there, I'm like a little itching for like the big lobby and the big fancy of it all. Their pool is wonderful and really just solidifies how good Beach and Yacht is. Because again, that is a huge attraction that is exclusive to these two hotels. And I think that Disney hotels could use a little more exclusivity for some of their special, special things, like I mentioned with Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. I will be staying here on an upcoming trip. I'm quite excited because it's an Epcot-centric trip, so I get to walk right in. And I just think being able to walk right into the park is something that is a high selling point. And while Boardwalk does allow you to do that too, these are ranked way high above Boardwalk. And I just would much rather stay here than Boardwalk at this point. I would. They're quaint. They're sweet. They're quiet. It's nice. You get to like walk along the water. Anytime I'm there, I feel like exhaling. It's just like, ah. And I don't feel that way about all Disney hotels. So Beach and Yacht, they take it. All right, party people, we've reached the top four. We've made it to the top four Disney World Resort hotels. And at number four, we got Disney's Contemporary Resort. Now, there are some failures to this hotel that if they didn't exist, this would be number one, hands down. The fact is, your experience at this hotel really matters on where you are staying, because they have a garden wing that is right there. It's next to the Magic, but it's not quite the same. Also, they are one of the few major iconic deluxe hotels that has a boring pool. So boring. Why is the pool so boring? But for so many other reasons, the Contemporary is iconic. I mean, the A-frame with the monorail pulling through it. That is a true Disney moment. Not only are you walking distance to Magic Kingdom, monorail to Epcot, like bing, bang, boom, you are right there. I've spent a lot of time in the past year and a half at this hotel. I've stayed here a lot lately. And I've just come to love little details of it more than ever. Because of course, like the Mary Blair, hands down, incredible. But also the Joffrey's downstairs, we can just get in line, get a coffee and walk to Magic Kingdom. That is so nice. That weird tiny little escalator upstairs, it's so retro, just a little tiny escalator. Even the one up to the monorail, so tiny, so little. You cannot catch me condemning this hotel, even if the character breakfast on site is essentially a pediatrician's waiting room. I've said it before, I'll say it again. That is not a space I ever want to spend my free time in. But regardless, the Contemporary Resort just has like the last dream of real retro Disney, because they can update the rooms. They can add in Incredibles theming, which, by the way, I'm in support of. I do like the Incredibles inside the Contemporary. I think it fits. But they zhuzhed up the rooms and not the main building. And we really got a clap for that, because they could have made this, like they could have added incredible statues in like in the atrium. They could have done a lot more. And instead, all of the theming, all of the IP that they added, which a lot of people would be irate about, is behind closed doors, essentially. The atrium, the lobby, it all still feels the same. And even the first floor entrance, like when you enter through the, you know, not in the A-frame, like below, they redid that, and they redid it to honor its mid-century architecture. So I just think it's perfect. I think it's lovely. But because you can stay here and have a mid-experience by being outside the main building, I had to bump it down to four. And there are three other hotels that I think just rank a little bit above this. And at number three, again, number four, Contemporary. I know I love Contemporary too, but like, I don't like Outer Rim. I don't like some of the dining there. There's some quirks that just kind of hold it back. And the Garden Wing is so much worse than staying in the main building. The Magic is the main building. And if you don't get that, it's kind of over. And number three, Coronado Springs. I know. But here's why. Here's why Coronado Springs ranks above Disney's Contemporary Resort. I personally believe that Coronado Springs with the Grandestino Tower, when that was added a couple of years ago, I think at this point it's probably like eight, time doesn't apply in my brain, but mixing Coronado Springs and that tower has made this resort kind of the best of both worlds. It is a moderate, but that tower being at a moderate just kind of raises the entire place up, even though the prices don't always reflect that it is a little higher and a little fancier and I think a little better than the other moderate hotels. It is making me somewhat sick to my stomach to rank Coronado Springs above Beach and Yacht Club. But really, if you break it down, again, it's giving deluxe at moderate price point. And just because a hotel is deluxe does not mean it's the best. I think Coronado Springs in 2025 really packs a lot of punch while also being in a very, very good price range. The internal bus is bad. I do not like it. But you know what? With that big old tower in the middle, you can Uber to every single park, easily get picked up in the main tower, and still pay less than you would at a deluxe. You can still get a view of water. You can still attend Sangria University. And so I think for the fact that it has a lot of the allure and a lot of the appeal of something like Disney's Riviera Resort, while sometimes being at half, maybe even a third of the price point, it deserves to be ranked this high. And again, it has a tower, and a tower Here, it's the only one at a moderate. Towers are usually associated with DVC and with deluxe. And the fact that you have so much at your disposal across that gigantic, I mean, it's a big campus. There's a lot of rooms, but they have themed pools. They have views. They have like an upstairs rooftop bar. They have so much, and you don't have to pay DVC or deluxe level prices. Because of that, Coronado Springs is in the number three position. Because I don't think it's fair to rank like the top seven as all the deluxes, because that's not really the best. Sometimes just because it's a deluxe doesn't mean it's the best resort. And I think for a lot of vacations, Coronado Springs, especially Grand Casino Tower, if you stay there, you can get a lot of deluxe level oomph out of a moderate level price. We have two hotels left. And if you are good at keeping a lot of thoughts in your head, you know which two we have left. And I am a little shocked to say, number two, Animal Kingdom Lodge. I woke up today and I chose chaos because I don't even really love it here. I mean, I felt bad ranking Wilderness Lodge so low because of that arrival moment. Like when you walk in that lobby, oh, you are in Disney. It is a dream. But you know what? There's a similar moment when you walk in here in Animal Kingdom Lodge, but there is often a cacophony of noise out of that Whispering Canyon Cafe. And here, it's bliss. You walk in and you get that wow moment. And while at Wilderness, which I'm comparing because they have those big, tall lobbies, Wilderness, you walk outside and like there's, you know, there's beautiful water. You like over that little bridge in the lobby. It's nice. Here you walk outside and there's freaking animals. I just feel like we're not praising Animal Kingdom Lodge enough. And there are flaws. There are flaws. Don't get me wrong. Like, have I once stayed in a room that had an ant infestation? Yeah. But you know what? To be one with nature while being completely indoors? It's what I should expect. I mean, even if every bed frame I've ever seen in this hotel resort has been criminally dusty, just like you look back there and you go, ugh, you kind of shudder, this hotel still deserves the number two ranking. There are animals here. There is unique food here. There is a good bar here. There is Sanaa a few steps away. And there is so much that is just so unique that you can't really find elsewhere at hotels at Walt Disney World. I know a lot of us have mixed feelings about Animal Kingdom Lodge. It can often be a little cheaper than other deluxe level hotels, possibly because of the size, possibly because people are looking for something that's close to parks, and I rank that highly. You've heard from my many transportation rants on this episode alone. But Animal Kingdom Lodge is not a normal hotel. We keep acting like this is a normal hotel. This is not normal. Like, yeah, you have to take a bus, but there's giraffes. You gotta take a bus, but there's zebras. Like there's animals. You walk outside and there are animals and it just is bananas. The art program here is wild. They just really did something here. You are here for the views, for the ambiance, for everything kind of like that you see inside and outside. And for that, I just have to stay on Animal Kingdom Lodge forever. And even when I like, sometimes I stay there and I'm like, I'm staying in Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'm going to look at the bed. I'm going to be upset because there's like a thin layer. There's always like, I don't know, the rooms I've stayed in have just been like a little dusty, a little old, need a little bit of refreshment. But again, the fact that you can look out your window and see a friggin' giraffe. How am I going to say that most other hotel rooms are better than seeing a giraffe? Seeing a giraffe! Like the fact that this exists is crazy. Animal Kingdom Lodge forever. I stan. I know I don't like a bus, but I love an animal. I love an animal. I love like, especially walking around this hotel, talking to some of the experts that they hire to just be on hand to answer questions. I once had, there was, you know how hotels have like the campfire moment? I once had a marshmallow while just staring at the savannah. Where else? I mean, there's many other places you can do that, but at a theme park? At Disney World? Wild. And in the number one position, Listen, we're going to get into it. In the number one position is Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. I thought I was better than this, okay? I sat down to do this episode. I was like, number one, it's going to be probably a random moderate. Maybe it'll even be contemporary. Who knows what future beholds us? And I sat down and I outlined it and my hands would not move Grand Floridian out of the first spot. I thought I was better than this. I thought I was different, but I am not. Because at the end of the day, if you're staying here, I'm jealous. If you're staying at Grand Floridian, I want to be you. I want to be there more than any other hotel. I kind of hate myself for putting it first. I really do, but there is something so iconic, so deep in the chemistry of my body that loves Grand Floridian that I can't shake it. And I've tried to think about this. I've tried to figure it out. And the thing is that Grand Floridian is like what a lot of us were raised on as the epitome of luxury. It's like where a lot of those full house retro memories lie. And even though I don't love a lot of the changes they've made here, I don't like the theming that they've been adding in. I think that they're taking away from the Victorian nature of it all, which is really what makes this place special. The bar in the lobby. I'm concerned. But alas, when I walk into this hotel, something changes in me. And while I have a lot of moments where I walk into hotels, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm at Disney World. Or like, oh my gosh, I'm in this very special place. Or oh my gosh, I'm at the Contemporary. There's the monorail. Nothing compares to the Grand Floridian. It does something to me emotionally. Because like I said, this is really the epitome of luxury. And while Grand Floridian is luxury in brand, not execution, I don't find this hotel is on par with a similar luxury resort like Four Seasons Orlando Resort at Walt Disney World. It's just embedded in its nature. I can be so happy just walking in here, going to Gasparilla Island Grill, getting some food, sitting outside, being at this hotel is what's most important. More than even Polynesian, more than Wilderness, more than Contemporary, more than anywhere else. Entering here and just existing in this special space resonates so deeply with me. Like on par, a little below, but up to the level of like getting the joy of walking into a theme park. I feel that nowhere else more than here. And yeah, this is the most cliche choice. Grand Floridian. Ooh, oh wow. Blow me away. But like, the monorail stop here speaks to me more than Contemporary even. Your walking distance, I don't like the path. You're in the blazing sun, you might melt. But your walking distance to Magic Kingdom, it just feels so special. You can take a boat. You can walk around the wedding pavilion. It's so special. It's so historic. And like even walking up that stairwell by the elevator to go to the second floor, so much of it just is in my bones. I just think it's so special. And no amount of modern furniture they put in this place can take it away. There, every time I walk in, I do feel a little like, oh my God, remember the band? Oh my God, remember this or that? And I feel a little like unsettled for like remember those Floridian pancakes that they had? They had the pancakes, like the cranberries, like the orange. Like I miss those. There's so many things that I miss, but nothing hits like the Grand Floridian. Nothing hits like the Grand Floridian. It is inherently special no matter which way you slice and dice it. So Grand Floridian gets the number one position. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I say terrified. If you have anything you agree or disagree with, I open my doors to you. Have at it. Call me 747 Churros. I would love to hear your feedback. I would love to see if people agree if any of their favorite resorts ranked well, ranked poorly. If you are a Saratoga Springs stan, call me. Please try to change my mind because that place, like, I would love to rank it higher, but I just can't. So just let me know what you think. I hope you enjoyed. And unfortunately, Grand Floridian forever. Grand Floridian. How cliche am I? How basic? Oh my God. Embarrassing. But you know, you love what you love. And that's all you can say. And we're back with Becky.
And of course, I'm not done yet because we've covered the globe. We've covered.
I just picture you spinning like a deals sign.
It's so hard because right now there's so many incredible deals in travel across the board. And these are just a few. So it is hard to pick. But I do want to pull out a couple of ones that have been going on for a while, but they might wrap up at any time. For example, Walt Disney World has been running the Get a Free Dining Plan for kids ages 3 to 9 for arrivals in 2026. I mean, in 2026 for the entire year. It doesn't have a book by date, which means they can pull this offer at any time. So if it's something that you're really interested in, I would say hop on it while you can.
Wow. Free food. That's through you could be planning your holiday trip 2026 and get a handle on that promotion.
Exactly.
Wow.
The other one that I want to make sure everyone knows about, because right now Disneyland is celebrating its 70th and we've all seen all the cute merch and all the cute food and all the cute things that Disneyland's also running. They're save up to 20% off if you book by July 31st for travel through August 15th. So there's still a good month and a half for you to go in and enjoy Disneyland, which is going to be all over the place with the new attractions that are opening up in mid-July.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Becky. And for anyone wanting to plan a trip, reach out to Mousefan Travel. Tell them I sent you. We have the link in the show notes. I keep yapping about it. But they will help you plan your trip. They will make sure that you get the best price possible. I know because I'm tooling around on that website a ton. And then I talk to my travel agent, and all my problems are solved immediately.
And that's what we do. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Hey, Carly. My husband and I just booked a super short, fairly last-minute Disney World trip for the first week of August. It's our first visit in 3 years, and while we've been to Disney World a lot, we usually go between October and March, never in the summer. We live in Memphis, so we're no strangers to summers in the South, but we're still a little intimidated by the idea of the theme parks in this weather. As I'm stocking up on sunscreen, UV umbrellas, neck fans, and packets of electrolytes, I was wondering, beyond the basic advice like get free water from quick service restaurants or take midday breaks, what are your top tips, tricks, and recommendations for visiting the parks in the heat and humidity of a Florida summer? We're skipping Magic Kingdom, but we'll be doing a day each at Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom, if that changes your advice at all. No kids, just two mid-30s adults. Thanks so much.
This call could not have come at a better time because I also just booked a super short last-minute trip in August, which we will be talking about in a few weeks. Stay tuned. So I am essentially in lockstep with you two with your trip. Now, I will be very real with you. Visiting Disney World in the summer used to be a hard no for me. I used to just refuse to do it in the summer heat. But the truth is, global warming has made everywhere hot. Like, I go home to Chicago, it's gonna be hot. New York, hot. LA, hot. Florida, hot. And like, yeah, there's humidity and there's different versions of it, but like, it's gonna be hot everywhere. It's hot all the time, and there's always weather events occurring. And so I'm just kind of like, you know what? If I'm gonna be hot, I may as well be hot at a theme park. A lot of the stuff you listed is great. Like, that is great advice. That is like the go-to hit list of stuff to do when it's hot in a theme park. But I, of course, overthink everything. And so I have a few extra things on top of that I want to share with you. I do think that you really got to kind of pick your poison when it comes to your go-to cooling object. There are, you know, cooling towels, fans, UV umbrellas. But I feel like you need to pick one and just commit and get the best version possible. I do feel like we're all naturally drawn towards one category. Like, I will never be a cooling towel person. I have brought them on no less than 5 theme park trips, and I never use them because even if I am super, super hot, I don't want to be wet. Like, that's just, it doesn't, I know it's cool and I know it's not like a wet, wet, but if I'm wearing a shirt, I don't want it. I don't want it, and I need to stop pretending I'm a cooling towel person. I have decided I am a fan and a hat person. And the fans that go around your neck are pretty cool. I have one of those and I have used it on some trips, but I also like shoving a fan right in my face if I have a free hand. That depends on, you know, if I'm on an adult trip or if I'm on a trip with a kid, like I'm either holding it in front of my, if I need my hands, I can't do that. But if you have your hands free, I would consider a UV umbrella. I have seen a lot more people in the States talking about it. My friend Chris from Tokyo Disney Resort Explorer, TDR Explorer, who you all know, Chris swears by a UV umbrella. I think a lot of us have been swearing by the neck fan and a handheld fan, like a really good handheld fan. But the UV umbrella might be something you want to try and just carry around for if you're standing outside, especially in a queue. It'll just kind of make shade around you. If you want a hands-free moment, go fan. But like also consider like getting one of these that you haven't gotten before because it'll just give you know, more weapons in your arsenal to face the heat. When you are packing, pack extra clothes and underwear. You're not wearing anything twice. Don't come to play, okay? Like, I think a lot of times people tend to think like, yeah, it's hot out, but like, I'll be fine. One wear only period in the summer. I would also recommend scheduling table service lunch. I know like get out of the heat is a lot of things people, they're like, oh, go back to the hotel, go to the pool. But truly sitting in corporate air conditioning, sitting in Disney Parks air conditioning indoors at a restaurant for an hour and a half to 2 hours in the middle of the day is going to fully recalibrate you. It is a way to like sit down, chug ice water. I would recommend in the heat, and this is real granular, but I would recommend not choosing a restaurant like a character buffet or somewhere where you have to get up and get food. Like the goal here is to to get all of your energy back, to regain all of that energy that might've been sapped by the midday heat. So you just want to sit and chill. Like I like to just sit, drink a nice water, have a Diet Coke, eat something with protein, eat some carbs, refuel, and then go back out in the heat to handle the day. Again, like midday breaks is a concept I wish I could do myself, but I can't. If I'm in a park, I'm like, I gotta see it. I gotta do it all. I gotta do it all. So that really helps me enjoy the parks while also guaranteeing that I will be somewhere that has strong air conditioning. Now, as a pass holder, it is a little different from the format of your trip, but I have now learned the way of doing a chill day at the hotel with a park at night. If you're on a shorter trip and you want to jam it all in, that's obviously not going to work. But if you have flexibility, if you can make one of those days more of a evening at the parks, I do think that does help, because then like the sun will set eventually and it'll still be hot, but you'll have enough energy to power through the evening. And also, depending on where you stay, if it's at a deluxe, if it works out with like the deluxe evening hours, you can cram a lot of day in, even if you start later. And of course, to quote my friend and colleague, Brooke McDonald, it will rain. So as much as you are preparing for the heat, make sure you are also prepared for the rain. And my last bit of advice, again, because I overthink everything, but if you are kind of like organizing and planning to the level of knowing what rides you want to hit at each park, definitely prioritize outdoor rides at the beginning of the day. Not only because pulling into the ride station with like the midday sun beating down on you is deeply unpleasant, but because of rain. Rain, thunderstorms, lightning, like all of this weather can shut down outdoor rides. And I want to make sure that you prioritize the stuff that's important to you so you can definitely get on those outdoor rides in the morning, since rain will probably happen later in the day. I hope you have a wonderful trip. If our trips overlap and you see me, please just run at me screaming so I can give you a hug hello. You will see me. I'll be hearing one of my many fans in a hat. Also, like, hats are great, but they also make you warmer. I don't know the technology. I don't know. Listen, I just wear it because when your scalp burns, it's a terrible feeling. But I hope you stay cool. I hope you have a great time. And yeah, it's hot, but like, it's hot everywhere. It's hot at the beach, and I'd rather be going on a ride than be in the ocean. That's just me. Have so much fun. Have a great summer trip. I hope you also took advantage of the low prices, because oh my Lord, I did. I can't believe how cheap hotel rooms are right now. Okay, anyway, have so much fun, and I'll see you soon. Okay, bye. Show! Thank you all so much for listening to this weird, wacky episode of Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. Rate and follow us on Spotify. I see some comments here and there on Spotify. I love it. I don't quite know how to respond to them, but do know that I am responding, like, in my head, at home, in my house, sometimes saying it out loud, which makes me sound like I talk to myself. But I guess my job is kind of to talk to myself, not to get existential about it, but I am just sitting in a room talking to myself. Wow, that's weird. Anyway, you can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Seriously, like, hit me up with all your parks questions. And we've been getting a lot that run the gamut, but I do feel like, you know, if you're planning a trip and you're like, should I eat here? Should I eat here? Call me up. I would love to let you know. I love to make decisions about theme park stuff. If you're like, should I stay at this hotel or that hotel? I mean, this episode kind of solved that. But if you're wondering, like, what dish to order at a Disney meal you're looking forward to, what snack you should seek out at a certain park, hit your girl up. I'm here. I'm a resource available at your disposal. And if you need a little bit more, if you need someone to help you save money on your trip, to plan your trip for you, to really just book things and make your life so much easier, because planning a theme park trip takes so much work, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. MEI Travel is our travel partner here at Very Amusing. They help keep this podcast coming out every single week. And they also just make your life easier by charging you no money while doing it. They will book your hotels. They will book your cruises. They will tell you what hotel's best, what room to do, what to request. They will do it all. And it's truly a wonderful, wonderful service. I have always been pro travel agents before I worked directly with one. And just seeing Mouse Fan Travel up close, seeing what they do, I love them, and they will be powering our group trip coming up, so stay tuned. We've been sending a lot of emails, there's a lot of stuff happening. I cannot wait. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel, and subscribe to my Instagram. If you got 99 cents a month, you want to see, like, it's kind of like a new post every day, every 2 days. Sometimes I'll do a bunch, I'll do a Q&A. I'll probably do a Q&A while I'm in New York, and then I have a big trip coming in a few weeks that we will definitely be doing Q&As for. Again, 99 cents a month. I guarantee you will get 99 cents of fun out of it, which is like a pretty low bar. And I think I like to set the bar low and exceed it. I think that's where I'm at. And I feel confident in the fact that I'm doing that. This episode was edited perceptibly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. Great episode. First of all, it is Lena. It is Lena. The Disney Destiny is coming out so soon. How exciting. The theme is heroes and villains. Sounds so good. In a presence of Loki. How fun is that going to be? I have been blessed to go with you on so many Disney cruises that I feel so safe on Disney cruises. And they really make sure that everyone washes their hands every time you go in the food areas. So they keep it clean and everything is great and germ free. It's pretty good. They do a really good job with that. And I just love that. I love the Disney parks, but I have to say, I think I love the Disney ships more. I just feel free to explore the ship and the paintings and the themed rooms. And I never feel congested with people everywhere. I find it very relaxing when I want it to relax. And when I want it to be a little crazy, I can go on the ship and see musicals and plays and movies, and I can do the meet and greets with characters. I can do that too. I can do whatever I want or be as quiet as I want and relax. It's wonderful. There's just many, many choices, and I love all of that. And honey, if you ever want to do a cruise out of the country, I'm available. I have a passport that's ready to go. Just saying. I love you. I love you, Pearl. Bye.